Now back to the Carl Nelson Show.
And good morning once again, family. Our guest is Neely Floyd Jr. on the FM 95.9 and AM 1450 WOL. Talking about the code, explain to us, Neely Floyd Jr., why we need a code. And what did you mean by a code?
A code just means getting things done. Black people have a lot of slogans, you know, Black Lives Matter. About every 6 or 8 months, sometimes 12 or 15 months, Black people come up with a new slogan. And white people come up with slogans. But we have slogans all over the place, but a slogan is like a title on the cover of a book, if you want to make that analogy. And the title on many books will catch your eye right away. Not on my book. I mean, if you see the title on my book, you'll pass right by it and won't look back. I mean, unless you're specifically looking for that book. Depending on which title, it's about 4 titles on the cover of the book. And the most important title is really in the smallest print. But that's another story. But in answer to the question, anything that's successful has a code, an electrical code, a plumbing code, a bar code, what we call a bar code. You go into the grocery store, and they said, well, hey, this has come with something. The grocery clerk back in the old days had to fumble for change and had to look at each item and figure out what each item costs. There's a lot of items, say, in a department store or a grocery store. Very laborious. So somebody thought of a way to put something called a barcode on each item, and you just did what they call a swipe. These are favorite terms in the system of white supremacy, swipe, all right? Because they swipe whole continents, the white supremacists do. So a lot of terms that they use, like swipe and even bar. I mean, you know, bars, they put black people behind. You know, so words are very important. But anyhow, the word code just means getting something done in the most efficient manner. And the white supremacists understand that. That's why they have the most successful code for dominating and mistreating people ever conceived in the minds of people of the planet Earth in modern history. That's why they have the most successful of all governments. And that government is called the system of white supremacy. It operates according to a code. A code for everything, a code that covers everything in economics. What is economics? The use of time and energy. The white supremacists know more about how to use their time efficiently and how to use their energy efficiently than any other people on planet Earth. Even when it looks like they're wasting time, they're not wasting time, it just looks that way. They are given their code greater strength. The code of what? Mistreating people based on color. That's why they're successful at it. And non-white people, black people, have no idea, really, of what a code is. Except we have a gang code and all like that, but we got that from them. But we don't have a counter-racist code. That's why a racist code has been so successful. We haven't even thought that we needed one. We think that the slogans will do it. Slogans do serve a purpose, but they are the title, like I said, began to say a little earlier. A slogan is like the title of a book, Black Lives Matter. But when you look at the cover of a book, And you say, Black Lives Matter, that's the name of this book? That's interesting. Then you do what? You turn what they call pages, because books have pages. And you come up with what? Empty pages. See, so you have a slogan. It's nothing incorrect about the slogan. Black lives do matter. And you can put that on the cover of a book. But when you turn the pages of the book, the pages shouldn't be blank. And that's what black people have been doing. We've been running on empty. We got a whole bunch of slogans. I mean, it really makes us think. Black lives matter. That makes you think. And in order to get anything done, you first have to think. But when we turn the pages of all of these books with all of these slogans that go on the covers of books, we got empty pages. The white supremacists got all of their pages clogged with what? What to do and what not to do, because that's what a code is. A code is nothing but what do you do in this given circumstance? What do you say? What's the best thing to say to be successful? Like black people in court. Sometimes you just want to just crawl under the seats. If you a witness in court, or you just happen to be in there, or you're on the jury box, you just want to get under your seat at some of the things that black people will say when they are trying to defend themselves. Got all that mouth, and they think that the code of the hood is going to work. Now, if I call this judge a MF, he's going to tremble in his boots. Oh, yeah, I got something for him. I'm going to come out of the hood on him. And I'm going to walk out of here in about 5 minutes after I run the hood game on him. Well, it doesn't work in the system of white supremacy. Hood games work in the hood. They don't work nowhere else. And anybody who is from the hood, who have tried that, when they run up against the white supremacists, they go under shock. That's why we need a code where you can stand and say things with absolute confidence, like, I do at all times relate to the flag, Your Honor, the exact same way that the flag relates to me. Now, that's code. That's guaranteed to work in anybody's court, unless the people just have already decided they're going to shoot you anyway, all right? Which, in a lot of cases, according to the white code, they will. But you ain't got no defense nohow when it comes to saying things. You might have a defense when it comes to doing things. But chances are that will work. That illustration I gave you just now, we didn't have that code. But we got it now, that part of it. But we need a code that covers everything, not just flags. We need a code that covers everything, because the white supremacists have a code that covers everything. And when new things come up, they're immediately codified. Now, how is the white person going to handle this? And how is it we going to see to it that somebody black handles it? Because we're going to see to it that whatever black people are involved in is going to be weaker than whatever we're involved in. They're always going to be in a weak position because they're weak-minded people. And they'll reach and grab anything that looks like it's new. They're so desperate. That's a part of the black code. Anything that's new, grab it. You don't have to see what it is. Just grab it. Grab a hot iron, I mean, you know, if you've never seen one before, and then try to figure out whether to drop it or not. Where the white supremacist says, that's a hot iron. I ain't putting my hands on it. They do the thinking way ahead of time. Black people act and then think. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. But I was mad at the time. Yeah, you were mad at the time. That's why you need a code. We all need it. Neely Fuller needs it. We're in a terrible position. That's why we need a code. Everything that works has a code. Stop and think about it in answer to the question.
Right. And how do we stay on code once we've figured out the code, that technique? How do we do that?
Staying on it. You always go for something that works. Why not? Rather than keep trying something that's been proven not to work. Like when you're pulled over. The code says, don't fuss, don't fight, don't flee. Now, you might get shot anyway, because we are prisoners of war. And prisoners of war get shot. All right. When they're compliant. A paratrooper drops out of the sky. And when he gets out of that parachute, he looks around. He's surrounded by 10 enemy soldiers pointing rifles at him. Now, one of those soldiers might say, you just dropped a bomb on my house and killed my mother. Now, the other soldiers are going to take you prisoner, but I ain't. And I'm going to shoot you. And he does. But that's the way it works. Because we're in a war, and you should expect that. But you definitely don't make it worse, your situation worse, when you're pulled over by a suspected racist and you start fussing, fighting, or fleeing when you know that it's not going to work. You already know that. Yeah, but I got to do it because that's what we do in the hood. That's why the hood is the hood. It's a place that nobody wants to be, including all the people who are there. Make movies. Black people make movies. Straight out of Brooklyn. Straight out of Compton. Dark people all over the world. In boats. Babies in their arms. Saying what? I got to get away from people that look just like me. Get away and go where? Which way did the white folks go? I got to go somewhere where somebody got some sense. Because where I am, ain't nobody got no sense, including me. That's why I got to flee from people that look like me. You know what that comes from? You don't have a code, that's why.
All right, hold that thought right there, Neely Fuller Jr. We've got to take a short break here. We're 7 minutes away from the top of the hour. Stations got to identify themselves down the line. Also, we got to give you a traffic and weather update for our folks who are traveling to work or school this morning. Folks, you can join us. We'll be picking up this conversation with Neely Fuller Jr. and your phone calls in 4 minutes right here on 1010 WOLB in Baltimore. Also in the DMV on FM 95.9 and AM 1450. WOL, where information is power.
Traffic sponsored by Regency Furniture. New crash on the inner loop of the Beltway between St. Barbara's Road and 210, blocking the right half of the roadway. Stay over to the left in order to get by. Expect delays coming over from Branch Avenue. Also, accident reported in southeast on South Capitol Street near Chesapeake Street. Metropolitan Police should be on the scene there. I-295 slow leaving the Beltway, going up towards Joint Base Anacostia Bowling, and most of the way to the 11th Street Bridge. And still a little bit of volume both ways on the southeast-southwest freeway, 695, near the U.S. Capitol exit. season. On Massachusetts Avenue near Waterside Drive, a vehicle broke down in the only lane that was getting through the work zone. Follow police direction in order to get through between Embassy Row and DuPont Circle. Partly sunny skies today, going up to 79. Clear tonight, low 63. 70 right now at Reagan National. It's the final week of Regency Furniture's Labor Day sale event. Save 55% off. Get $150 instant rebate or no interest financing till 2028 in Maryland and Virginia. I'm Robert Workman for News Talk 1450 AM WOL, where information is power.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? It's me. I mean, it's you. It's your childhood calling.
It's your childhood calling.
Pick up.
I'm calling to tell you something very important.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault.
The things that happened to you as a kid, the things you went through, they were not your fault.
And you're not alone.
Two-thirds of us have experienced what is known as adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs.
ACEs are not our fault. They happen to us, yet they can hurt us for our whole lives.
But I'm calling to tell you that I've got good news. I'm calling because you're grown up now, and you can be in charge. You can be the author of your own story.
Learn how at numberstory.org. Numberstory.org.
This place has a pulse. You hear it in the canopy, feel it in the ground. Life, fully illuminated, engulfs you. From the birds singing in the treetops above to the tiniest insects in the soil below, you take a deep, cleansing breath, filling your lungs with the essence of the forest. Now, imagine it's all gone. Healthy, life-giving forests reduced to nothing. No singing birds, no lush canopy, and water and food in short supply around the world. Time is running out to protect our forests, and without our love, they can and will disappear. It's our choice. Love it or lose it. Help protect our forests. Visit World Wildlife Fund at wwf.org/love.
And good morning again, family. A minute after the top of the hour, our guest is Dede Fuller Jr. Now, I tell you again, please, you got to listen very, very keenly to what he says. When he's in the classroom, this is how it is, because he uses logic, cause and effect, to prove his points. So please listen carefully before, especially if you're going to call in and have a question to ask, because usually the answer will be in what he's already just said. But anyway, Brother Carlos is calling us. He's on line three. He's calling from Waldorf. Brother Carlos, you have a question for Dede Fuller?
Yes, I do, and thank you for taking my call. Fellow, I really appreciate you, also in the sense that Dr. Francis Chris Wellsen worked with you and adopted your theory, and I think as well, I think the great James Baldwin did as well, and the truth of the matter is that we haven't learned our lesson, in this regard. Here's what I wanted to ask you. Without an Army, Navy, Air Force, or police force, how can we protect ourselves from the onslaught of white supremacy? And also, have you heard of this theme as far as the American flag is concerned, that it stands for red blood flowing through blue veins on white skin? I've heard this many times from different sources, and I also have come up with they have a song called A Toast to the Flag, which reflects pretty much the same philosophy protecting white supremacy. And what I really want to like to know is, how can we keep our brothers and sisters from being killed because they do not understand the code philosophy that you espouse? Thank you for taking my call, brother.
All right. Thank you, Brother Carlos.
Well, in answer to the last question, how can you protect yourself from being killed in the system of white supremacy? You can't. but you minimize, they're going to keep killing us. That's not going to stop. That goes with the territory. But you try to, first of all, try to get black people to stop killing each other about a whole lot of nothing, which is what we kill each other about. This, that, and the other, and you put it all together, it's not about anything at all. If you're robbing and stealing among black people, you can't rob and steal enough that you can retire in Monaco. That's what you should start thinking about when the first idea that you get that you're going down there and rob that little store down on the corner that just opened by someone that everybody says is a Korean, and everybody says he ain't got no business over here no way. Yes, he has. Probably the only business around there anywhere. Okay? Yeah, but he don't know how to talk to black people and all like that. Well, who needs to talk to black people anyway? He came thousands of miles to talk to black people. But black people go in there because that's the only store around here. And they snatch stuff off the counter. Let's tell the truth now. And those that don't snatch stuff off the counter, he didn't come here with that attitude until he was taught that. Where did he get it? And why is he there? The white supremacists sent him there because they knew that he would be a target. See, they think way ahead. You're talking about people who are talking about going to the other side of the universe when we can't figure out how to even get across town. That's how backward we are, worldwide. I don't care where we go. When you find dark-skinned people, they in no way compare with the brain power and the attitude toward the universe of the white supremacists. It's an evil system, but it's the most powerful, or you might say the only show in town. And everybody caters to it. Why? Because it is powerful. The system of white supremacy. That's what we're talking here. We're not talking about nothing else, but we're trying to skirt around it. And in answer to the question, how do you keep from being killed if you have dark skin in the system of white supremacy? You can't keep from getting killed because the white supremacist decides who will die and who won't. They decide that. They already know how many black people are going to kill each other next year. Why? Because they plan it. Black people don't have a plan for nothing. Period. We got slogans, and that's all we got. But a slogan is not a plan. Now, what is a code? A code is a plan. That's why I said we need one. We need a code for everything that we say, like the pledge to the flag that the gentleman is just now bringing up again. I thought I handled that in the first hour. But the pledge to the flag, don't even think about pledges, period. Just go to the one that I came up with and see how that works. I do at all times relate to the flag the exact same way that the flag relates to me. I came up with that one back in the 1980s. Took me about 3 years to come up with those simple words. Guaranteed to work anywhere. Involving any flag. I said that in the first hour. I took up quite a bit of time doing it. So maybe the caller wasn't familiar with that. But don't even think about it. See, codification means you got it down so pat. All you got to do is just say it. All you got to do is just do it. And it always works. That's what a code is. The white supremacists understand the need for a code. That's why they codify everything. A black sergeant taught me that principle. He said, Fuller, it's one thing I notice about you. You get frustrated about everything and you think the key to your frustration is close your eyes and grit your teeth and just grab hold of anything that's nearby and hope that it works out. He said, fuller, open your eyes. Stand back. Don't grab hold to a situation that you don't know what it is. Jump back from it and open your eyes and study it before you make any kind of move. Any kind of move before you say anything or do anything. He says, I've been watching you. And you think that just running around in a circle when you don't know what to do is the answer to everything. Bumping into things, knocking things over, and just hope that it all works out. And basically, he was telling me, that's what you call Negro thinking. But he was straightening me out. He was a black sergeant. He started me to thinking there's a logic to everything. And then he punchlined it by doing this. And you can think about it. He said, Fuller, there's a scientific way of doing everything if you're going to be successful. He said, there's a scientific way of picking a pencil up off of a desk. And I said, what? What are you talking about? And he says, there is a best way to pick a pencil up off of a desk, and then there's a worse way. He said, learn to think like that, Fuller. There's a best way to go about doing everything. I don't care what it is. And then there's a worse way. And then there are all the ways in between. He said, Fuller, you should make it your mission. Now, he didn't put it in these exact words because I don't remember the exact words. But it stuck with me because that's exactly the way I was. He said, think about the best way to say everything and the best way to do everything before you make any kind of move at all. And that's when I started thinking about, oh, he's talking about a code. Because the best way to do anything is you have a code for it. Or say anything. So when I started doing that, I didn't know it at the time. I was just making notes. But I was solving problems just with that kind of advice. It's the best way to go about doing everything, and it's the best way to say something if you're going to say something. Out of all the millions of things that people will say, Fuller, you should have as your goal. And he didn't put it in those words. I don't remember the exact words, but that's what it meant. Fuller, you should have as your goal, if it's 2 trillion people talking, and then when you get ready to say something, you say the best thing that all of them 2 trillion people said, put together. Now that calls for what? Some thinking. And when I say that on the air here in the year 2022, that's exactly what I mean. What that black sergeant taught me was a fundamental. That nobody had ever got me to look at the world like that before. It's the best way to do everything and a worse way. And it's the best way to say everything and a worse way. And then it's all the ways in between that you don't have to pay no attention to at all. But pick out the best way to say anything that you're going to say so that nobody can come behind you and say it better. Now, that doesn't say that you can do that. I certainly don't do it, all right, but I'm trying. Even when I go to meetings, I remember what that fundamental that black sergeant in Japan in the 1950s taught me. Just don't go about doing anything any kind of old way, Fuller, and expect it to come out right. See, nothing works that way. Do some thinking before you speak. A whole lot of it. Not just one or two things, but 1,000 or 2,000 things before you open your mouth. And if you get ready to do something, think about the thousands of ways that it can be done, and you pick out the best way. He said there's a word for that. It's called success. Boy, do we need it. Neely Fuller needs it. Every black person in particular on this planet needs it. The best way to go about doing everything and the best way to say everything, if you're going to open your mouth and say it, what's the best thing you can say? Suppose we had that as a code right now, which is what we should adopt right this minute. A lot of people have called me down through the years and asked, or come on the air and asked me, what do you mean by code, Fuller? Why do you keep saying we need a code and all like that? That's all I'm saying. Black people need to learn to do everything the best way that it can be done, that anybody will ever do it in a million years. And when we say something, we say it better than anybody will ever say it in a million years. Set that as a goal for every black person on the planet and see how far we'll get in a week. It won't take a long time. But see, our goals are so shallow. What is the goal of the average black person? To impress another black person. Impress them with what? Anything that you can do to impress them. Throw a brick through a window. Walk through the neighborhood at midnight with them speakers turned up as loud as you possibly can. That impresses other black people. Because now they can't get back to sleep. But you made an impression. You woke everybody up. Why? Because I need attention, that's why. And all you sleepyhead Negroes don't pay some attention to me because I got some speakers that some white folks put in here. I want y'all to hear it, and why I want y'all to know that I got them. Because I need attention. Attention from whom? From all the rest of you black people. Y'all ain't paying me enough attention. I'm going to get your attention if I have to kill you and do life imprisonment and think about it while I'm doing life. That's the black code as it is now. We have a code, but it ain't worth nothing. Black culture, and I'm going to say it, is nothing that you should wish on anybody. Why?
I tell you what, hold that thought right there, Neely Fuller. I'll let you explain that on the other side. We got to take a short break. We've got to take another look at our traffic and weather, folks. Class is in session. You got a question for Neely Fuller. Junior, put in a question form and reach out to us at 800-450-7876. We'll take your calls in 4 minutes on 1010 WOLB in Baltimore. Also in the DMV on FM 95.9 and AM 1450. WOL, where information is power. Good morning again, family. 22 minutes after the top of the hour. Thanks for rolling with us this morning, by the way. In our classroom right now is Neely Fuller Jr. We're getting a discussion on racism, white supremacy, or the system of racism, white supremacy, how it works, and everything that it entails. And as always says, if you don't understand how that system works and all that it entails and everything else you think you understand, only serve to confuse you. All right, before, so I want to clear up the confusion, because before you left, you talked about the black culture. And some people will go, oh, Neely Fuller said black culture is nothing, and put black culture down. So I'm going to let you finish explaining what you mean about black culture. Neely Fuller Jr.?
Culture is what you do. So look at what black people do. See, we always talk like culture is some type of mysterious stuff that you find under the Great Pyramid. That's not culture. If you're paddling a canoe, while you're paddling that canoe, you are a canoe paddler. And that is your culture, paddling a canoe. You're in the canoe, you're paddling the canoe, you're going down the river. That's your culture. The minute you get out of that canoe and start walking across the desert, you are now a desert walker. That's your culture. You are not a canoe paddler. See, we got to get straight about what culture is. Culture is what you're doing at the time you're doing it. If you're participating in a drive-by shooting and you're black, that is black culture because you're a black person participating in a drive-by shooting. That is black culture by definition and by truth. See, black people can't afford to play with the truth. Include that in black culture. Black culture calls for black people to kill each other in 2022 because we do a whole bunch of that. That is black culture. You say, oh, no, that ain't black culture. Black culture, you got to go to, ancient Kemet, and you know, you got to dig down under the ground, and then you got to find some artifacts. And, well, you don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, you know, I don't know where you got that idea. That's what black culture, yeah. Black culture, white culture, baby culture, bird culture, is whatever you're doing if you tell the truth. Culture is what you're doing at the time that you are doing it, and it shouldn't be looked at no other way because that's the way it really is. But we like to feel good. So we take this mess that we do all the non-constructive things that we do and try to sweep it under the rug and start talking about, well, we got to teach white folks all about black culture so that they will respect us. And the white supremacist says, I know all about your culture. In fact, I give you most of your culture. And you see what you're doing. You're doing what I say do, and that's black culture. You black people, at the beginning of each day and the end of each day, do the things that I want you to be doing or let you do. Some of the things that you want to do, I let you do. Why? Because it's not hurting my business. What's my business? Being a white supremacist. What's a white supremacist? A person, a white person, that mistreats black people and dominates them in every area of activity. Economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war. I'm a white supremacist, and I dominate and mistreat black people in all of those areas of activity. And why do I do it? Because I get fun out of it doing it. I get glory out of doing it, meaning I'm well thought of, even by the black people that I'm mistreating. They think well of me because they know they're better. They ain't going to have no job. They better act like it. And I get material comfort, which is what all creatures want. But I chose a thing called racism, and it turned out to be the most powerful political idea and religious idea ever thought up in the minds of people, the most powerful. And why would I turn loose to the most powerful idea and the most powerful practice ever conceived in the minds of people in the history of the known universe and give it up for something that I told black people about when they came under me? And that's a thing called justice. I'm not giving up white supremacy. But justice, that's just an idea. It's an idea. Like America is an idea. Like Africa is an idea. Like Asia is an idea. But the only business that's in town that's really being run that's more than an idea is the system of white supremacy. Now, this is the voice of the white supremacists, and they are telling the truth. Now, they lie about a lot of things, but they're telling the truth when they say they are supreme over the black people of this planet. And a lot of black people, because it hurts their feelings, like to run around saying that it ain't true. And at the same time, saying, I wish I could get a job. If you get one, you're going to get it from somebody white. Now, that's a guarantee if you're black. Now, I don't care where you are on the planet. You say, no, I run my own business. You run your own business because the white supremacists gave you a license to run your business. Stop and think, folks. Stop and think. You can't solve a problem if you won't admit you got one. The first step towards solving any problem is to understand the problem that you got. How many black people understand white supremacy? About maybe, I don't know. I don't know what the figures are. Not enough, I do know that. Because I don't understand it, and I've been working on it for years. That's why I say what? I'm still learning, and I'm telling the truth. Neely Pull ain't nobody's leader. I'm fishing for a way to get out from under this. And if every black person on this planet tells the truth, so are they.
All right. 30 minutes after the top of the hour, Neely Fuller Jr. got a question put in a question form. Gene's calling from Baltimore. Gene, you have a question for Neely Fuller Jr.?
Yeah, my question is, sir, are you still teaching in the classroom?
Yes, sir. I'm not teaching. I'm just telling. Because
okay.
The code itself says, when it comes to racism, ain't no black person qualified to teach nobody nothing.
Yeah. Well, I would love to take your class because I would love to take whatever test that you would give, and I'm sure it would be in an essay form, and, to outline racism, white supremacy as it applies to black, especially black people in the world. It's like the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. Or the Huns. The Huns actually defeated Rome in the latter part of the Roman Empire, but they let them exist so they could get tribute and also so they could help fight wars against their common enemy. And this was never heard of before. It was never a strategy. Another example of that was Henry VIII. When Henry VIII wanted to fight, get the glory of having a war with France, and couldn't, and the Austrians, Marie Antoinette was an Austrian, you know, that deal fell through, and so they strategized that they would make peace and use peace to perpetuate racism and white supremacy. So, most people look at, well, what does that got to do with anything in a sense that, but how did racism and white supremacy come to the shores of America? You know, that should be the question. And how, when it did happen, I'm not going to explain it, but when it did happen, how was it exported to Germany? And how, right now, today, not the United Nations, but the world police that used to be England, Russia, and the United States, the big three. And now Germany is part of that alliance, and China, and Japan. So I'm just basically making up my outline for your test, and I'll fill in the rest after the test is done. But if we answer those questions, then we will see where racism and white supremacy came from, and how it just didn't come from countries conquering countries in the name of war, killing their men, children, and the men, and then enslaving their women. See, that wasn't the way of war anymore. The purpose was to enslave all the black people, all the brown people in the world, which yeah. it is doing.
Mark, hold on a second.
My name is Gene.
Gene, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Gene. Thank you for your We got to take a break, folks. 800-450-7876. I was listening for a question. I didn't hear a question. A lot of pontification, but this is what it is. Make a question and call us, and we'll take your questions after news, weather, and sports update right here on 1010 WOLB in Baltimore. On the FM side, we're on 95.9 and AM 1450 in D.C. on WOL, where information is power.
Good morning, once again, family. 20 minutes away from the top of the hour. Our guest is Neely Fuller Jr. If we'll go back, just do us a favor. Just put in a question for him, and he'll be the first to tell you. You can't learn anything without asking questions. And I was trying to ask Gene to ask a question. Put in a question. We've got a pontification. Gene, next time, and all the new listeners, too, put it whenever we have a guest, ask the guest a question. If you think you're as great as a scholarly as the guest, call us on Friday. That's what we have Friday. We call it Open Phone Friday. We give you a chance to free your mind, and you can show your skills as an orator or you've really skilled in any subject. Call us on Friday. We start at 6 o'clock right here. It's Open Phone Friday on 1010 WOLB in Baltimore. In the D.C. area, we're on FM 95.9 and AM 1450 WOL. All right, let's take a call. Let's hope we got a question for Neely Fuller Jr. Let's go to line two. Mr. David's calling from Hartford. Mr. David, your question for Neely Fuller Jr.
Good morning, Mr. Nelson, Dr. Fuller.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. In regards to the books you have written, it can't be difficult for a person age 50 and older to change their way of thinking because they've been thinking a certain way for so long. So my question to you is, were your books written for a specific age group, or can people of any age can use your book?
The question is what?
Did you write your books for a specific age group, younger people, or can a person of any age use your book? Because a lot of older people, they have a difficult time changing their way of thinking.
Yes, I would like to have written my book in retrospect at what we call the fifth grade level, maybe the third grade. But it's difficult to write like that when your mind has been served up with so many words, with a number of words. When you have just a few words to deal with, because you only know a few words in any language, you can write in a simpler fashion. And you'll talk in a simpler fashion. Why? Because you don't know anything. You don't know enough words. In the English language, you have thousands and thousands of words. And the way the mind works, I discovered this, the way my own mind works, is that, and I observed it in other people, the more words you are familiar with, the more words you're apt to use. And that is not really the best use of language. If you can, you use as few words as possible in order to communicate anything, to tell people what to do or what not to do or make suggestions, or to describe something. But the English language has so many words, and you have a tendency, when you hear these words, you pick them up and you use them yourself, sometimes without really any intentions of doing so. But since you heard somebody else use these words, you'll have a tendency to use the words yourself in certain situations. And when you talk this way, you'll have a tendency to write the way that you talk. So in answer to your question, in retrospect, and I've told people this time through the years, I wish that I had written my book in such a way that the average fifth grade student could understand instantly what I was saying. But it's very difficult to write that way once you have learned a whole lot more words that you needed to learn. Because actually, the principles that I'm talking about are very simple. in fact, most things fundamentally in the universe are simple. But the white supremacists, in establishing the system of white supremacy, they said, we got to master words, and we will invent words to keep confusing people, because we have to be masters of confusion if we want to be real efficient at keeping people eating out of our hand. We have, the best way to do that is to keep them confused, because one of the lessons that the universe teaches us, according to logic, is that the person who is most confused will always be dominated by the person who is least confused. And if you can confuse people through the use of language, you really have them in a subordinate position indefinitely, as long as you're able to use language to confuse people. Now, that's a part of the white code, the white supremacist code. And that's why they're successful, because we use their language. And that's why I have put out, in answer to the question of the caller, I have put out an edition, because I always say I'm writing the same book, one problem, one book. That's the way I think books should be written. One problem, one book. A book for each problem. Not a whole lot of books scattered all over the place. Now, some people have told me down through the years, said, Fuller, you're trying to write a book about how to conquer racism, try to get rid of it, and replace it with justice. Say, don't you know, Fuller, that that book has been written? It's called the Bible. You ain't paying attention to it. And they may be correct. That's what I say even here in 2022. Other people say, no, that ain't the book. The book is the Quran. So now you got confusion right there. Okay? So maybe I'm adding to the confusion by trying to write a book about how to get rid of racism as an individual person and replace it with something better, and that's something better. Because the only reason for getting rid of racism is that you think something is better. That something better would be justice. Since racism is the most potent form of non-justice that the world has ever seen. So, in answer to the question, though, I do wish that I could have written my book at the fifth grade level in English, so that the average fifth grader would understand everything that's being said. But unfortunately, I couldn't write the book that simplistic. And that's unfortunate.
12 away from the top, I just got news into our newsroom here at Radio 1. The CNN anchor, Bernard Shaw, is dead. You might have remembered when the CNN started back in 1980. He was the black face on CNN. Well, he's made his transition. Bernard Shaw was 82. Neely Fuller Jr., before I take another call for you, can you tell folks how to get the copies of your book, the titles of your book as well?
Yes, the title of it is called The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept. Very confusing. A compensatory counter-racist code. That's a little less confusing. But then there's another title. I have three titles on the cover of the book, the 2016 edition. A textbook workbook for thought, speech, and or action for victims of racism, white supremacy. Of course, I say that racism is white supremacy. White supremacy is racism. There's no other form of racism other than the system of white supremacy, according to the evidence, according to logic, according to Neely Fuller. You know, I could be incorrect about that, but that's what it is. And that's what I wrote my book for, directed to the individual victim. And if you pick up the book and read it and understand what's being said, and do the things that are suggested, the race problem will be solved. Because that's what I wrote the book for. I didn't start out with that in mind. I wanted to do like most black people, just make my contribution. And I said, you don't make a contribution to solving the race problem. If you're going to be involved in solving the race problem, solve the race problem. And don't consider anything less than that as your goal. And so I made that my goal. It might be arrogant or whatever you want to call it, but I say, if I leave this earth without solving the race problem, I left this earth without doing my job. And so far, Neely Fuller has not solved the race problem. So I have not done my job, because that's what I set out to do at a certain point. Not originally, but that's what I set out to do. Now, you can get the book by going to producejustice.com. And the book is supposed to help you not only to solve the race problem, but any other problem you've got. Of course, here again, other people have said that the Quran or the writings of Buddha or the Torah or the writings of Confucius or the New Testament of what they call the Holy Bible, and that's really all you need. And that could be the truth. Because I haven't solved the race problem, but neither has anyone else. So we'll find it by keep searching. And I'm putting my book out here that you can get by going to producejustice.com. I'm saying, for right now, this will do a lot to help a black person anywhere on this planet solve whatever problem they got. It may not achieve that goal, but that's what I'm writing it for.
Nine away from the top of the hour. We're racing the clock right now. Mark says he didn't think that killing is part of our culture. Mark, you weren't listening, paying attention. That's why I said you've got to use logic. So, Mark, we won't be able to, and Neely Fuller, respond, but just get the podcast and you answer your own question. But Neely Fuller, tune in. We got like 2 minutes. You mentioned that we're all in prison. We're all prisoners of war. Can you explain that for us in 2 minutes?
Because we are in a war. Look up the word war in any dictionary. And not only that, we are slaves. Slavery didn't end. What is slavery? It's being subject to an illegitimate system. And white supremacy is an illegitimate system. Anytime you are being mistreated, you are a slave to the person who is mistreating you. So slavery has never ended. See, we've got to look at the same things in a completely different way than what we have been doing. Well, slavery ended, let's see now. Slavery didn't really end in 1865. It ended in 1870, and people go back and forth about that. Slavery never ended. And racist slavery is the worst slavery at all, of all. Why? Because it's the most powerful. It takes in more people than any other form of slavery ever invented. Because here again, according to logic, not Neely Fuller, slavery is what? Being subject to someone who is mistreating you and you don't know what to do about it. So black people worldwide are still in slavery. Slavery has never ended. Why? Because we're subject to the system of white supremacy. Now, that's either true or false. Get the book by going to producejustice.com, because that's what we're supposed to be producing. Not just getting rid of white supremacy. We need to come up with something better in its place. Otherwise, it ain't no point in getting rid of it. We can keep what we got. But we're supposed to be producing justice. And what is justice? Guaranteeing that no person is mistreated and guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. And stop accusing Americans of practicing racism. That's impossible.
right. Nita Fuller, we just have flat out of time. Thank you for the information you shared with us today. Thank you. Folks, we got to run. We're late as usual. Stay strong. Stay positive. Please stay healthy. We'll see you tomorrow, 6 o'clock in the morning, right here on 1010 WOLB in Baltimore, in the DMV on FM 95.9 and AM 1450. WOL, where information is power.